There'll be an event at Belfast City Hall this morning, interesting event, which will give people here the chance to see the devastation for themselves in a unique way. We're going to be talking about that in a second. But first, here's how ITV's News at 10 reported on how the people of Aleppo were celebrating. And celebrating is an interesting word when you think about Aleppo. But they were pleased that the ceasefire had been in place. This report was at the beginning of the week.
No one knows how long it will last, but this ceasefire has transformed eastern Aleppo. On these streets where so many children have died, suddenly they can play. The sound of explosions and suffering replaced, however briefly, by laughter. The man who sent News at 10 so many graphic images of Aleppo's ordeal, clearly moved by the very different scenes he was able to film today.
To see children playing outside, they can go outside and they can play without looking at the sky every now and then. They were so happy, I can see hope in their eyes.
After the shooting stops, the next stage is delivering desperately needed aid. Russian troops have already started bringing in supplies to the west of Aleppo. But then it is controlled by Russia's allies, the Assad regime. It's not just the children who've been taking advantage of the ceasefire. On the streets of Aleppo, there have been protests, with people who've been living under siege telling the outside world that a few days' respite, even some aid, will not change the fact that they're being slaughtered by their own government.
It was Paul Davis there reporting for ITV News. Amnesty is organising an event in Belfast this morning for Syria. The organisation's Patrick Corrigan is on the line and available to speak to us. Patrick, good morning.
Morning, Frank.
Patrick, you're going to be using headsets down at Belfast City Hall, virtual reality visions of Aleppo.
That's right. I suppose it's an attempt to let people connect with what life is like for ordinary people in downtown Aleppo. These are sort of virtual reality headsets into which you insert like a smartphone with special software. We have trained up sort of citizen journalists in Aleppo, people who are still there, with the training and the photographic technology to take 360-degree photographs of what life is like for them. And so they have taken pictures of Aleppo in the wake of barrel bomb attacks by Syrian government forces. Essentially, barrel bombs are sort of what they sound like. They are sort of big containers, maybe oil tanks or gas cylinders packed with high explosives and shrapnel that are dropped from government helicopters hovering overhead and are designed to cause sort of maximum destruction both to the infrastructure and to the civilian population there. That's what people in large parts of Aleppo have been living with. And the images that people will see are a 360-degree picture of what it's like to stand in downtown Aleppo. And what you'll see is destroyed buildings and residential areas, marketplaces, mosques, schools and shops, where 250,000 families used to live, and it's now down to hundreds or a few thousand families left. So it gives a taste of what life is like to be a civilian in Aleppo. So that's the technology. Really, we're giving people an opportunity as part of Culture Night Belfast, which is tomorrow evening. So if people come along to North Street between 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock, they can try on one of these virtual reality headsets and get a view. Also, we're giving them a trial run out this morning at 10:30 in front of Belfast City Hall.
Yeah, I shudder to think how people attending Culture Night would want to indulge in such horrific imagery, because I'm sure it's even more graphic than what you see on ITV News.
Well, you know, it's Culture Night is a brilliant opportunity for fun. I'll be there with my family, and there are lots of fun and arty things to do. But it's also, I think, an opportunity to challenge ourselves. That's what art and culture is supposed to be about, at least in part, and to see the world through others' eyes. And I think you really can do that by putting on one of these virtual reality headsets. You literally see the city of Aleppo through the eyes of a normal person or a civilian who lives there. I should say there will not be any graphic scenes at all of people, of sort of injured or dying people. That's not what this is about. It's about the sort of city that people are lived in. So as people stand in the centre of Belfast, put on one of these headsets, they will be transported to as if they're standing in the middle of Aleppo. And as they look around, as they turn around, instead of seeing the streets and the buildings and the cityscape of a resurgent Belfast, they'll see a city brought to its knees by their own government in large part.
Do you believe, and there are many arguments and debates about the government in Syria and about the terrorist influences and outside Western influences, Russian influences as well. Do you see a way back for Syria?
Well, you know, there have been grotesque mass human rights violations on all sides. It should be said clearly that in large part they have been carried out by Syrian government with backing from Russians and others, but there have also been abuses carried out by various rebel forces and groups on the other side. So people, the main people who have suffered have been the ordinary civilians, and I think that explains why over half of the 11 million people who lived in pre-war Syria now have been displaced and are now living largely in neighbouring countries in Turkey and Lebanon and elsewhere, some of them even making their way to Northern Ireland. And when people ask, you know, oh, why are these people come here? Why are they not back home? I think by looking at these images, you will see exactly why. Is there a way back for Syria? Listen, all wars come to an end and the war in Syria will be no different. And I think peace starts with ceasefire. We have a temporary ceasefire declared for this week by the US and Russians, and that seems to have been largely respected 2 or 3 days in. This is an opportunity, we hope, to start building peace, but there have been ceasefires before. They have ended and the war has gone on. So we hope that this is not simply an opportunity for armies and forces to regroup, rearm, and get ready for the next big push. We hope it's a stepping stone towards peace. So there is a way back, but it will require leadership from the Russians and the US, which hasn't been in great display to date. Say this ceasefire has been very welcome. We need to see that built on. But ultimately, you know, we will also have to see abusers like President Assad and others who are responsible for these mass killings, for civilian attacks, brought to justice, to be held accountable, so that people know there is some consequence for actions. So it's going to be a very difficult task, but wars do come to an end, but it doesn't happen by chance. It happens through leadership, and I think that with what we're trying to do through this education project worldwide and the virtual reality headsets and the photographic project, is to build understanding and empathy in countries like ours and around the world, to put pressure on our governments to do something and to get a sense that, you know, if this was happening to us, we would want somebody somewhere to use their power to bring it to an end. And I think that that's what needs to happen next.
And you don't buy into the argument at all that Assad might have some part to play in the future of Syria if they are to eradicate ISIS?
Well, listen, there are a bunch of questions in there. We take a simple view, perhaps, on things, which is that people responsible for mass murder should be held to account, shouldn't be rewarded with positions of responsibility and directing the future of their country. So we look to the day when either internally in Syria through the court system there or externally through something like the International Criminal Court, that Assad is held to account and brought to justice, as we have seen other war criminals brought to justice in the past. He's not the only one responsible. There are others on other sides of this conflict too. As for ISIS, obviously they also need to be brought to account, and their abuses need to be ended. And, you know, that is a complex operation in itself. But there are many groups in Syria who are responsible for violations in the main. It has to be said, and the numbers sadly hold this up. It's actually Syrian government forces. And I think that to ignore that or to be deflected simply by a focus on the horrors of ISIS is to miss the context, the breeding ground for ISIS, and to give a bye-ball to the Assad government. And I think that we have to take a complex, multi-stranded approach to bringing peace and justice to Syrians.
Okay, Patrick Corrigan, thank you indeed.